Dynasty Football Network presents Super Flexible Podcast with your two co-hosts, Tudrick and Swags, and host, Steve Halepka. Let's go!
What's up, you guys? It's another edition of the Super Flexible Podcast. I am your host, Steve Halepka, here tonight with my boys, Tudrick and Swags. Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Oh, man. Scott fishing the bull.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Super excited. Scott Fish Bowl is happening right now as we speak. So tonight, got a lot going on. We'll talk about the Scott Fish Bowl, go through each of our teams. Let's talk about some news and notes with Julian Edelman's suspension getting upheld, the stuff going on with LeSean McCoy. And then we're going to get into our big topic to flex dynasty startups and how you should address that and get ready for it. But before all that, let's talk about where you can find us on Twitter. You can find the site at SuperflexPod and at SuperflexTrades. Tudrick, where can they find you on Twitter?
At FL2DrinkMinimum. Hit those ones, he said. Plus, that hashtag SuperFlex. I'm looking for that one, too. Let's do it.
Awesome. Ben Swags, where can they find you?
And I am at DFF_Swag.
Awesome. And you can find me on Twitter at TheRealHalupka, H-A-L-U-P-K-A. So let's talk about, obviously, what everyone's talking about on Twitter right now. The fantasy world is abuzz with the Scott Fish Bowl. So for you, those who do not know what the Scott Fish Bowl is, it's now up to 900 teams of analysts and fans getting together for an awesome cause. Let's be honest. Scott Fish has the Fantasy Cares charity platform. I think we raised over 25 grand already for Fantasy Cares, which is an awesome Toys for Tots program for underprivileged kids. So big shout out to Scott Fish and all that he does with Fantasy Cares. So we're going to do a quick little review of the scoring format, and then we're going to break down how our teams are doing right now. So again, for those not in the know, the Scott Fish Bowl is a super flex league. So perfect for this podcast. Super flex with up to four flexes, including that super flex, starting two RBs, three wide receivers, and a tight end. 22 round draft. So going to go pretty deep here with 11 total starters. Some funky scoring this year, as always, in the Scott Fish Bowl. So there's points for first downs. Everyone besides tight ends get half a point for first downs. Tight ends get a full point. Then everyone else gets a half point per reception, with tight ends getting an extra 0.5. And the quarterback scoring is pretty crazy. So not only do you get 6 points for passing touchdowns, but you get -4 for each interception thrown, and then an extra -2 for an interception return for a touchdown. So you need to have those low INT quarterbacks, and we'll talk about those in a second. So let's talk about our individual teams. Let's start off with the guy who is way ahead of us, up to round 17 already. Jeez. Swag, let's break down your team real quick.
We are cooking.
Yeah. So just go through your team in order of how you picked them, and then we'll kind of break down. I've got some questions for you.
All right. Well, I had the 101, so I was super stoked and got Todd Gurley. That was an easy choice for me. After that, Rodgers went and Russ went, and I took Cam Newton at 212, the third quarterback off the board for our league. And I felt good about it. I might have went a little early, though, compared to the league trends. We didn't really have that first quarterback run with all the good guys. Everybody kind of picked at it, and then we had a huge run in the middle. So, and that's where we'll get to it down the road, where I kind of panicked. And I
yeah, we'll talk about
it. It could work. It could still work. I like it.
It can work for sure.
And so after Cam, I took Geis. There was a huge running back run while I was getting concerned about quarterbacks, so I kind of missed out. And running backs are my favorite, so I had to take Geis there. I felt he was the best one on the board for this. And then all the way to 412. So this is 22 picks every time. I mean, so just around later, but I've got 22 picks in between every pick. So it makes me I love it when you get to pick, but you're kind of controlling the runs a little bit, or mm-hmm. trying to, but you're also making sure you don't get screwed out of anything in between those runs. So you have to play devil's advocate a little bit with it. At that point, though, I felt like being a Lions fan and a truther, I think that Kerryon Johnson could be the starter for Detroit at some point, and I wanted another lead back, and I felt like he was my guy there. I could have taken McCoy. At this point, I'm really glad I didn't. And then I got to take Tyreek Hill, who I think fell. That was my first and only wide receiver for a while. Loved that pick. Then I got Derek Carr, my second quarterback, in the sixth round. At this point, there had been a little bit of a run. He was the 20th quarterback off the board. Superflex, I felt like I also had to take some quarterbacks, repping the Superflex show a little bit, and I couldn't be letting that go. I really wanted to leave this league with 4 to 5 quarterbacks, honestly. I said that to myself going into it. I like that I could put somebody in a bad position just by them not having a starter or being a little bit weaker at a bye week. I get a little bit concerned with the quarters in this league because of the scoring that you mentioned and the possibilities of those interceptions and the minus points for that, and then let alone if it's a pick six. So it's not always the best option to have one of those weaker quarterbacks in your super flex spot, air quotes. But at the same time, I'm hoping that one to two of mine have a good week, which, I mean, that'll get me to, before we hopped on. Well, so then I picked Carr, then I picked Chubb, then we get to round 8 and 9, and back to back, I took Dalton and Rosen.
Yep.
So
watch out.
This was the quarterback 24 and 25 off the board in our league. So at this point, I've got 4 quarterbacks, and at the pick right before I took Dalton, I wanted Case.
Okay.
And had I gotten Case, I think I would have been done with quarterback. At this point, I felt like Case was safer than Dalton. Hopefully Dalton has a rebound year. But at that point, I kind of panicked, and I knew that I wasn't picking again. I knew that the way the quarterbacks were going, I was going to be a lot less interested on the next pick. I didn't have a tight end. And the tight ends I wanted still actually fell to me. But anyway, so I took Dalton, and then I took Rosen, thinking that Rosen's going to be the starter this year. I think he's going to have the best chance of being the rookie that starts this year.
All right, so let's stop there for just a second and break down some of these picks. So obviously you got 4 quarterbacks in the first 9 rounds, which I think is awesome. But I do want to talk about wide receivers. Obviously, you just started with one. You got Tyreek Hill. You got Tyreek Hill in the 5th round, which I think is awesome value, right? You're not going to get Tyreek Hill in the 5th round in a traditional draft. So how do you feel at your receiver position with only having really Tyreek Hill as your one true go-to receiver?
Well, it concerns me a little bit. I think that I did really good, though, like, in round 12 through 16, you can see all those picks there where I was just having to try to make up for it with the heaps of kind of maybe trash piles that were left down there. But I think that they all have some upside, you know?
Yep. So just to give the listeners an example. So in round 12, the 49th and 50th receivers off the board. So Kelvin Benjamin, 49th, his 12th round pick, Josh Doctson, 13th round. Then he followed it up with Calvin Ridley in the 14th, Jordan Matthews in the 15th, then brought it back with Quincy Newman in the 16th. So you've got a bunch of guys here. And if one or two of them hit, I mean, you're looking real good. You're looking real good there. Definitely some high touchdown upside there with Benjamin and Doctson, I think. Those big guys that are going to get those end zone targets for sure. So talk to me about your tight ends real quick. I know you said the guys you wanted fell to you in round 10 and 11. So talk to me about O.J. Howard and Mike Gesicki.
I mean, man, it's so tough, you know, because after the first 3 to 5 tight ends are off the board, and at this point even Reed was gone, and I was kind of thinking of guys that at least might just have some targets coming towards them, and I felt like O.J. Howard and Gesicki were my best options on the board at that point. I I was in contact with Two Drink a lot at this point, and I was like, I told them I wanted Njoku, Howard, Gusecki, or Ebron, actually. And those were the four that I was looking at the most, and I decided that I didn't like Njoku's situation as much. I just felt like they have more guys there to take targets away from him. So as much as I like Njoku and maybe like his dynasty future, I felt like Howard and Gusecki had maybe more of a chance just for some raw targets.
Wow. I'm kind of shocked, to be honest, that you could think that, especially with Cameron Brate there in Tampa. So Two Drink, I know we haven't heard from you in a bit. What do you think about taking OJ over David Njoku?
I mean, I get it. Me and Swags did talk a lot through here. And I think even in like maybe that round before, like just trying to play the waiting game where he picks on the end, you know what I mean? Like he's got, like you said, 22 picks. So he's kind of playing his flag on that guy in that next 20 because it's probably not coming back around, you know what I mean, for what he wants. So Howard's numbers, you know, probably can't, like his efficiency of the touchdowns to the catches that he had last year won't keep up, but I think he's due for a lot more volume. So I don't mind Howard, especially when it's, the 15th tight end off the board. Like I think he will outproduce that if you look at it that way. So his return value there is pretty good for having to wait until that spot.
All right, that sounds good. That sounds good. And then Swag, you just finished up in round 17, taking Dallas Goedert, also the second tight end for Philly. What attracted you to that guy?
Well, I mean, at this point in my league, there's not a whole lot of tight ends left because I missed out on so much trying to get make up for my wide receivers there.
Yep.
So really, I mean, he's the 29th tight end taken off the board in our league. But I feel like he has a chance by the time that I'm getting to my bye weeks and stuff with Howard and Gusecki that either Ertz is hurt or Philly could possibly run some two tight end sets. I think that Goddard's a talented tight end that could get some work this year.
Awesome. Awesome, man. Yeah. So thanks for the breakdown. I appreciate that one. You got, what, 5 rounds to go? Then your squad will be filled.
Man, isn't that crazy?
I know. You're flying by. You guys are nuts.
Johnny Drama, man. Victory. Y'all going to finish
first. We ain't got no drama in our league. It's just a bunch of like laid-back dudes. Like everybody's wanting to pick and liking it and just seems to keep moving. We've got one guy in Australia, and he seems to just be getting on the clock at the right time and just keeps cooking.
Or he's never sleeps and just like consistently hitting the update button.
Those guys are crazy.
I do that every once in a while. Like during the day, I'm just consistently hitting my refresh button to see if I'm picking. It's a sickness.
You just want to even see what's going on or who's picking.
Exactly. So Two Drink, tell me about your squad, man.
Oh, I think my squad's better than his, but we'll get there. So I had the 103, and honestly, I was really hoping Zeke kind of fell there. I know, woe is me. I get to take Left Bell at the 103.
Oh, my God.
But honestly, when Zeke went, I took a couple minutes and was like, do I go full tilt and just take Aaron Rodgers here and kind of set this thing off and see what happens? I decided to wait, and hopefully that doesn't bite me in the butt. But so Left Bell 103, coming back around, I get Keenan Allen. I love that pick. I mean, even at wide receiver 6, I think he finishes better than that, like where I take him in this draft. So I love that there. Then I went ahead and took Cam at 303. I think when I did this, I don't know that me and Swags had talked to it at that point and realized that we both took them like within a few picks of each other there. So that was kind of funny to see that. And then keep going. So I get to wait all the way back.
Was he also, sorry, Two Drink, was he also the third quarterback? Oh, he's the fifth quarterback off the board.
He's my fifth quarterback off the board there. Like, coming back around, I was ready to take Russ. And he went before Keenan Allen did, and Deshaun Watson even went before Keenan Allen did. So before I even had a chance to take my first quarterback in that second round, which I would have done, they all go. So I go Keenan, and then luckily, Cam falls to me. I say fall, like I think I've seen him go a few rounds later than this and even a couple of them, but Cam is the QB5 at 303. I got to do that.
Yeah. I like it in this setup.
Yep. Love it.
Now, My next two picks, Sony Michel and Rashad Penny at 410 and 503. I took Sony first. That's how I have them ranked. Yep. for rookie ranks. Two, actually I have Penny a few spots behind Michelle, but as RB 20 and 22, with the volume that I believe both will get, even on New England, I can't pass that up. And to pair that with the Lev Bell in the first, I think I have three guys that are, you know, I think all those guys kind of finish between RB like 16, 18, even a little bit higher.
Yep.
And then in the sixth round, the fourth tight end off the board, I went ahead and took Evan Engram. See, I know. Go ahead.
No, to me, that's crazy that only he was the fourth tight end at 6'10. Because I got Greg Olsen in the sixth, and we'll talk about my team in a second. In the sixth round, he was already tight end six.
Wow. Yeah.
So the fact that Engram lasted to the fourth tight end, it's wild to be that late.
Yeah, when that came back around to me, that was like, I wasn't even looking at it at that point. Really, I was just like, I wanted Gronk or Kelsey, and they went way before I really wanted to pay up for it. And then Ertz, I needed to get those two running backs. So when Engram was still there at the back end of the sixth, I was like, I mean, I kind of got to do it now and just, you know, kind of hope that works out. I get all the other people that are back and even Saquon taking the touches, but Engram is a wide receiver that I get to play a tight end.
Yep.
I think he outscores, you know, Shepard fairly easily this year and is easily that second option there for Eli. So
I think so too. I think you're right.
After that, my second quarterback off the board was Jameis at 703.
How quick are you going to take Fitzy? Like, what round are you taking Fitzy? Like, round 16, round 15, your next pick? What are we thinking?
Yeah, so I am through the 13th round. So when 14-10 comes back around, I still have, like, some Flaccos and a couple other rookies I think that will go before Fitz goes.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not against gambling a little bit there because of the other quarterback I ended up picking up in the 11th, which was Tannehill.
Yeah,
it's
boy.
It's kind of my bridge Winston pick there. Mm-hmm. So if I lose out on Fitz, it's not the end of the world to me. And kind of see what falls to me at that spot. There's still some wide receivers I'd like to get my hands on, if I can get there too. And it would probably go that route over Fitz. Just because, even though I'm a Dolphins fan, the homer pick, like, Tanny can give me a couple games.
Yeah, man. Totally agree.
Are you at all concerned about Winston's interceptions with scoring format?
I mean,
did it go through your head, though? You know what I'm saying?
Sure, for sure. And I know he's loose. You play the narrative that there's more weapons there around another year for Goodwin and OJ Howard. Plus, I get people think that Rojo can't catch. I believe he can.
I think so.
You know what I mean? And he's pretty electric with the ball. So it's just another piece there. Plus, you get a little bit of the rushing from Winston and the touchdowns. I know that's hard to predict year to year, but I'll still take it in this format for sure. I don't mind rolling the dice a little bit on a guy that I think both of you have kind of convinced me more so than I had him before about just what he was doing, you know, at the end of the year last year before he, you know, stopped playing there.
Yeah.
Dude was on fire.
Yep.
Fire,
and you know, I like that pick. Yep. We were talking about that one too. And for the 21st quarterback off the board too. I like that a lot.
It's crazy. Crazy value, man.
All right. Awesome. So after that, I only have one more running back on my team, and that's Cohen as running back 33, who I got to take in the 9th round. We'll see. I think at some point, if I need that extra running back, like, he's going to be hopefully utilized as much as they're talking about there.
Mm-hmm.
As my fourth running back, that's pretty good for me.
Yep.
So the wide receivers I have left here to go with Keenan, I took Cooper Kupp, Chris Hogan, and then I got crazy with the Kinneys and Stills and Galladay. That's my wide receivers right now. What do you guys think about those?
I like them, man, because they're high upside plays. You need to hit at least one or two of those guys to get even into the playoffs. So Hogan's going to eat the first 4 weeks with Edelman out. And between Stills and Galladay, man, you got some deep threats that can make big plays in any single week. So I like them a lot.
I like them all a lot, too. I was targeting Stills. I don't agree with Hogan, though.
Really? You think it's all Gronk? first couple weeks.
I know Swags doesn't like Hogan, and even when I made that pick, right after I made it, I was like, man, I think I just found out that Swags had taken Jordan Matthews in the 15th round. God. And I was like, I would have liked to take something else in the 10th and, you know what I mean, try to get Matthews in the 15th.
You guys like Jordan Matthews? Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'll take that.
We're going to fight. We're going to fight if you like Jordan Matthews.
Yeah, all day over Hogan. Trash.
He's trash. Jordan Matthews. Oof. Garbage.
Well, player. I guess we'll find out because I got Hogan. He's got Matthews.
We'll find out. We'll have to do like a board bet for points, and I'll spot you like 25 points for the season with Hogan.
Oh.
Huh.
We'll talk about it next episode because we got a bunch to cover tonight. But yeah. we'll talk about it soon.
No,
so it's your turn.
I would, yeah, you want to do that bet, and we'll do it to like, $10 to the
to Scott Fish.
Yeah.
Yeah, to Fantasy Cares. Let's do that. $10 to Fantasy Cares.
And you're spotting me 25 points?
I will spot you 25 points. You get Jordan Matthews.
And we'll use Scott Fishbowl scoring. Is that?
We'll use Scott Fishbowl scoring.
Sounds good.
All right, awesome.
Yeah,
put it on the board.
Yeah.
To quote a famous guy.
Heck yeah.
Or semi-famous guy. All right. So I'll break down my team real quick. I was picking out of the 8-hole. I took Saquon Barkley first. He was the 7th running back off the board already, coming out of the 8th pick. Then coming back in round 2, Russell Wilson. QB number 3, actually, at 205. Deshaun Watson was the 2nd quarterback taken at 202. Wow. So I was thrilled to have Russ at 205.
Yeah.
Then coming back the next couple of rounds, I know I wanted to load up on running back due to the format. So took Darius Geis, 3.08, coming back with Derrick Henry in the 4th round. Finally took my first receiver in the 5th with Amari Cooper, wide receiver 16 in the middle of the 5th round. I think he's got upside this year with Gruden's offense. I know
think
people
that's
are
a great value.
Targets for days.
Targets for days in that offense. He loves to target one receiver and make him the focal point. Hell, Joey Galloway was like a top 8 fantasy receiver with John Gruden as his head coach. So I will take a guy like Amari Cooper there. In the 6th, I came back and got Greg Olsen. I think he's in for a bigger year in year 2 of that offense with Cam. He looks to be healthy now, even though he's like auditioning for a TV gig. I think he's still got one more good year left. Came back with Dak in round 7. Looking for those efficient quarterbacks that aren't going to turn the ball over here, plus some rushing upside. So for QB 19 off the board, I'm happy with Dak.
Definitely.
Went with Crabtree in round 8. I was on the fence with this one between Crabtree and a couple other guys. I just thought being the one real receiver you can trust in Baltimore kind of gave me a more of a warm and tingly feeling than anything else I saw on the board at that point. Came back in round 9 to get my 4th running back with Jamal Williams. He'll have at least a couple weeks of carrying the load in Green Bay. So I'm all for that to be the caddy for Aaron Rodgers. I'll take that upside for the first couple weeks. And you know what? If he holds the job, then I'm looking real pretty with him taking him in the 9th round. Then came back Marquise Goodwin in the 10th. I'm not sure who's going to be the one in San Francisco. I'm not sure if it's going to be Goodwin, if it's going to be Garcon. The chemistry that Goodwin had last year with Jimmy G, it was looking real nice for a while. Didn't score a ton of touchdowns, but man, he was balling out. So that's why I took Goodwin there in the 10th as my 3rd receiver. Let me ask you guys real quick. Who do you think is going to lead the team in targets this year in Frisco? Goodwin or Pierre Garçon? Do drink.
I'm going to lean Garçon as long as you know, everything looks healthy, like it does so far. So okay. I'm going to go Garcon, but I get it. And it could be close where, you know what I mean? It almost doesn't matter, but okay. I'll take Garcon right now.
Okay. Swags.
Yeah. I would lead in the same way.
Okay.
I like that Goodwin pick though. And the value of it there, for sure. Wide receiver 38 off the board. But yeah, I like Garcon a little bit more.
So now I feel kind of bad because Garcon was still on the board. I took Goodwin, but all right. I'll take the upside of Goodwin.
I think that there's less risk with Goodwin, honestly, mm-hmm. and in a thing like this. I mean, one thing we didn't mention is to anybody that doesn't know, we can't make trades. So it's very important that our roster construction tries to take care of any holes now because we can't just all like hoard running backs and try to turn them into a wide receiver later. Like, this is what we have short of waivers.
Right. There's two waiver periods. One, I think, at the before the first weekend, I think NFL weekend. That's the last waiver period.
Yeah.
And then got my boy Tanny. I have so much Ryan Tannehill this year. It's stupid. I have way too much Ryan Tannehill this year. But as my my third quarterback in the 11th round, just like you two drank, man, got Tanny as my third QB. I'm happy with it. And then, shockingly, Robbie Anderson was still there in the 12th. So I took Robbie Anderson with the 45th as a 45th receiver at 12:05. So even if he's suspended for a couple games, totally down with having that upside and that deep play threat again as potentially the Jets' number one. Yeah. Damn,
how do you feel about him drafts? Towards like same kind of with the Hogan and Matthews versus like Nunez and Anderson?
I think Anderson's still the one there. I know Quincy's they're going to be the possession guy. He's going to be the guy that's going to move the sticks. So I think with the, even in the first down format like we're in right now, I know he's going to have some value. I just think Robbie's, he's shown too much over the last 2 years with his scoring ability and able to go up and get the ball that I think he is just going to still be the number one guy, even with someone like Terrell Pryor there who can do some of the same things. I still think Anderson's the number one.
Gotcha. Yeah, that'll be interesting to watch too. I'm kind of excited. I like the value I got in him though, but. Yeah. It's tough to argue with what you just said, but I love the value I got there.
Yeah. I do too. I think Quincy in the 16th round, man, I think that's sick. I like him a lot.
I think he's going to get 68.
Yeah. He's going to get a bunch of targets. Like, he'll be number two in targets or number one in targets on the team for sure. All right. So stick with us. We'll be tweeting about the rest of our picks in the Scott Fish Bowl. Hit us up on Twitter. Hit us up to see which team you like the best right now, which team you like the best at the end. Definitely follow us along. For sure.
You guys weren't supposed to hear that.
That's all right. So let's talk a little bit about the news that we skipped over to start with. First, before that, let's talk Julian Edelman's, his suspension being upheld by the league. So Edelman's out for four games. I know we kind of touched on this, whether it's going to be Jordan Matthews, Chris Hogan, Gronk. So to a drink, do you think that which Patriot will benefit the most without Edelman in the lineup the first 4 weeks?
I mean, I drafted Hogan, so I hope that's the guy. But I mean, it's obviously Gronk. I'm interested to see what Jordan Matthews looks like in these first couple of weeks. And even some of these lesser-known guys like Malcolm Mitchell, does somebody like Braxton Berrios, you know, even kind of make it all the way through, and can he come in and shine? I'm going to lean Hogan as that big play guy for the true wide receivers, but I think Gronk's going to eat even more than normal in the beginning. Watch out for Sony, maybe a couple extra catches. Maybe that's just me hoping.
All right, what about you, Swag?
I think it's Jordan Matthews, and I think it's don't look back. Julian Edelman's done.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a bold call, my man. Bold call. I like
this guy is crazy.
I like it.
Julian Edelman's cooked, in my opinion, and I think they've got so many slot receivers even that we're talking about that are going to take that role that even if I'm wrong about Matthews, I think that Edelman's still kind of done. And Matthews is 25, 6'3", probably the best slot receiver Brady's had since Welker.
And you have high, lofty expectations for Jordan.
Hey, Matt Truther on board.
I mean, the system he's in, I think, just fits what he does very well.
There's a reason why he was, like, scrounging for a job the last couple of years. I'm just going to put it that way.
It's, I mean, it was Buffalo, though, kind of ruined him. And before that, the Eagles didn't take care of his injuries that well. And he wasn't that bad with Philly, honestly.
Oh, Philly, I thought he was good. I thought he was decent.
And he went through like four or five quarterbacks while he was in Philly. The dude hasn't had anything consistent, and now he's got Brady. Yeah. I don't know. I think he deserves a shot.
Yeah, no, I think it's fair in terms of the analysis there, because Brady is by far, obviously, his best quarterback he's playing with. I just think talent-wise, Edelman's a superior player. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. So let me ask you then, Swag. Currently, Edelman's going in PPR leagues at 6'10". in ADP right now. What round, knowing that his suspension's upheld, would you be comfortable in taking him?
In a dynasty startup?
Let's do redraft for right now. Let's talk redraft.
Well, I mean, in the Scott Fishbowl, I took him 1501. So I took him a little bit earlier than the field, and I...
Oh, it's like Edelman, not Matthews.
Edelman?
Yeah, Edelman.
I mean, he'd have to be free.
Right?
Oh, my God.
That's what I was saying. He ain't taking him.
Quincy Anunua over him, yeah.
Okay, all right.
I mean...
You already said it's done.
He's one of those players I'm so happy to see other teams take.
He won't make it. He won't make it to me either. Maybe if we got to 10, maybe. Okay. And I need a wide receiver, but I knew Swags was never taking him.
Okay. All right. Okay.
And I'm not even trying to be mean about it though. Yeah, but
maybe a little.
It's just he's this year's Jordy Nelson, but he won't have any production. Hey. I mean, it's done.
Shut your face.
Move on. Go to. Play for Gruden already. Get it over with.
Okay. Wow. I'd be fine taking him in the ninth round, but that's just me.
Ninth, okay.
And he went pretty early in ours, too. We'll have to look at the average on that, but he went really early, and I was like, huh.
If people know he's good.
He's got a cool name.
Does have a good... Okay, we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out and see what happens during the season. Next piece of news... Hater. Yeah. Next piece of news. LeSean McCoy obviously has some domestic violence allegations. Came out on Twitter just as we started to draft the Scott Fish Bowl. ADP right now, he is still somewhere in the late third, early fourth.
No way.
Obviously, we have no idea what's going on right now. There's still tons of stories coming out. So before we jump to conclusions, obviously, we have to have the process take its course. So let me start with you two, Drink. Is there any round where you would be comfortable taking LeSean McCoy?
Where you want redraft at this? Is that what you're asking?
Let's do one. Let's do redraft and dynasty. Let's do both.
Dynasty? No, I can't. I guess that, you know, something stupid like the 15th round or something, but somebody else will do it before me there.
Yeah.
And redraft, I mean, if you make me do it right now. In best balls, you know, I play on drafts and stuff like that. I haven't ended up with him at all. I'm just not going to do it. We felt like this. I hate kind of speaking on this, not knowing and comparing it to other situations, but we did this with Ray Rice and I'll go ahead and take him in like the sixth round, seventh round. If it's real, it's over. There's no more. And I'm going to go almost any direction. Before I do that.
Yeah. No, I hear you, man. I hear you for sure. So, Swag, is there any round that you'd be comfortable taking McCoy, redraft, and then dynasty startups?
No. And, I mean, honestly, I wasn't big into McCoy even before this, just age alone. And I'm kind of hard on the age with the running backs. And the dude has so many miles. But with this and all the concerns here, definitely not in dynasty. Even redraft, I mean, it'd have to be dirt cheap. And at that point... I think somebody else would have taken him.
Right.
I mean, it sounds bad. It's almost – and don't take this the wrong way. Any of this is bad and I'm against it all. But it's almost worse than him just, having the act of violence and doing it himself. There's a conspiracy here where he, had the premeditated thought to hire somebody to go do it. If that's all true, I mean, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, it's some pretty serious allegations. Mm-hmm. So obviously, we got to wait to see what happens. But yeah, it's some pretty scary stuff. What was potentially going on there for sure. So yeah, I'm in your boat, guys. I don't think I could draft him anywhere. I know we talk about value, but at a certain point, it's just it's too much. It's certainly too much. And like you said, you drink. If this is true, he's done in the league. Yeah. He will not play a down again for any team. He's done.
I think it's funny though. People are going out and grabbing DeMarco Murray just on the speculation that a guy is suspended, and maybe that's the player they get.
Yeah, I mean Murray's been waiting around for sure, and I think that could happen with how Buffalo plays.
Yeah,
what was that you drink?
I said Murray's going to land somewhere. It is funny to kind of see it kind of happen. Me and Swags are in a best ball draft, and we're super late in that thing. And I just took DeMarco Murray, and I'm right in front of him. So that's funny. Like, I just did that earlier today. I've got a bunch of running backs. It's like, whatever, I'll take Murray at this point. You know, he will get a job. I do believe that. Whether it's him to Buffalo, I'm not sure. I think me and Swags have had this conversation somewhere, group me, text, I don't know, about maybe Gilsey going back or Jeremy Hill. Like, both those guys are super cheap, I think, on the
Maybe like Amir Abdullah or something. I mean, yeah. But Buffalo already picked Chris Ivory over DeMarco Murray once this year. I wouldn't be surprised if they do it again.
Sure.
Yeah. That's a good point. I like the Abdullah thought, just because he is so out of favor right now. I think all he's doing is returning kicks for Detroit. So.
Yeah, and I mean, honestly, I think they need more of a pass catcher there and some scat back than they have Ivory, you know what I mean, who I'm not saying is a great back, but they have that kind of, like, bulldozer back. And if they get a nice, like, I mean, I'd favor Jamaal Charles over DeMarco Murray. I don't even care. Call me crazy.
Crazy.
Ha. Isn't Travaris to get Cadet still there?
Yep.
In Buffalo? So he might end up being their scat back. But yeah, there's going to be almost zero value from that Buffalo team, I feel like.
Those are
maybe awful. Charles Clay and Kelvin Benjamin gives you a couple games. But besides that, I am so out on this Buffalo team.
I need a lot more than that out of Kelvin Benjamin, bro.
He might get a couple games. He might give you like 80 yard and a touchdown game like 3 or 4 times this year. It could happen.
My wide receiver too.
Yeah.
Watch out.
He might be. We'll see. So before we talk about our startup strategies for Superflex leagues, Superflex Dynasty leagues, let's talk about GT bets for a second. So if you want to bet on the home run derby or the finals of the World Cup, just head over to gtbets.eu, enter out our referral code Superflex at the sign up to get started. They're currently offering a 100% match on your first deposit up to $500 and a 50% match on your second $500. So head over to gtbets.eu with the referral code Superflex, SUPERFLEX, to get started wagering in just mere minutes. So let's go to our big topic for tonight, and that is our Superflex Dynasty startup strategies. So I'm going to have a couple questions for you guys, just general thoughts about strategy. So first of all, let's start with Swags. So in a Superflex startup, when are you taking your first quarterback, and who is that player?
I mean, it depends on who falls. If I am ranking my quarterbacks, I have Aaron Rodgers mm-hmm. ranked as the number one Dynasty quarterback right now. Mm-hmm. He's not typically the quarterback Smart. I get because I like to wait a little bit if I can.
Okay.
I'm going to draft in a super flex startup a little bit differently than I will draft in a 2-quarterback league. So we're talking about super flex today. I know a lot of guys say that they're very similar to the same with those formats, but I am totally different. I think quarterback is a lot more important once you have to start 2 quarterbacks, I feel that it becomes a lot more important. So I'm going to wait probably for the mid run. I think that I'm getting antsy by the 3rd or 4th round though for my first quarterback, and I'm targeting like a Matt Stafford type guy, maybe Winston, Dak. I like some of those guys. I like the running quarterbacks. Depends on scoring format, but
okay. Does that change 6-point passing touchdown versus 4-point in terms of where you're picking guys?
The pluses don't change me as much as the negatives.
Okay. That makes sense. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. To drink, where are you taking your first quarterback in a super flex startup?
My number one is also Rodgers, and yep. I will take them right around the middle of the first. If I'm not in one of those first couple of picks, then I'm going to go ahead and pull the trigger on Rodgers. If I'm at the back of the first, I'll go ahead and take Russ. In a super flex 2-quarterback league, Swags can pay it how he wants to. To me, if you're playing it right, I think it's a 2-quarterback league. Like, I'm going to start a quarterback there. Unless there are some crazy negatives, reducing the quarterback scoring kind of back to the norm, I'm definitely going to have 3 quarterbacks probably by 8 round 7-8, something like that.
Okay.
I want to make sure I got three studs rotating in and out. So if I get Rodgers early, I'm going to take maybe Cam if I need to, and then maybe just a few rounds later, go ahead and get somebody else, depending on how it falls.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So for me, I totally agree. Like if I'm in the back half of the first round, Rodgers is certainly on my board and probably going to be my pick if he's not gone. I like Russell Wilson to start the second off. So yeah, I think those two, those are my top two dynasty quarterbacks in Superflex. So yeah, I think back half of the first round is definitely in play to taking your first quarterback for sure. So I know you started to talk about your second quarterback too, Drink. So let's go to Swags. When are you taking your second quarterback? And who are some of your favorite targets? Like what round are you looking for a second quarterback in Superflex?
My second quarterback's likely coming right after my first quarterback, like third or fourth, fifth round, that range. I'm probably grabbing two quarterbacks. So I did wait like an extra round or two than you guys, but I'm getting two there and I probably want to have my third one by the sixth round.
Okay. Okay. So who are some of your favorite targets as that second quarterback? Are they still the same tier as like Dak, Winston, Stafford, or are you looking at more of a veteran guy like Big Ben or Rivers?
No, Stafford's probably about as old as I want to get.
Okay.
To be honest with you. But Stafford, Carr, Dak, I already said that, but you know, Winston, I'll target the rookies, Rosen, Baker, maybe a little bit later though. Those guys, I'm trying to think of some other guys, you know?
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, I would say, let's talk about the rookies then. So you started to name them off, Swags. Which of those quarterbacks do you like the most? Are you a Baker guy? Are you a Lamar Jackson guy? Which of those are your favorite? And then which round would you start taking those rookies?
So I've kind of gone back and forth. At the beginning of, like right after the draft, I liked Baker a little bit more than Rosen, but I've put Rosen ahead of Baker at this point, at least by a little bit. I think he gets a quicker chance to start. If not, I think he could even take it in preseason and start week one. I don't think Bradford would even care is part of the reason I would even lean that way. And I think that he's got a couple nice targets to start. I think that Fitz is going to help him out. So Rosen would be the first rookie that I would want. And I kind of like that you can try to pair him with a rookie wide receiver to build his career with too. Maybe, yeah. You know, I know it doesn't always like translate, but it is kind of fun for Dynasty to try to get those stacks right from year one.
Yeah, I like that. I like that strategy a lot. Yeah, Kirk's. I like Kirk too. For sure. So same question to Drink. Who out of the 2018 rookies is your favorite? What round would you take them in? And which one not only are you on for 2018? And then is it a different guy going forward past 2018?
So Baker's my number one quarterback, 2018 rookies. I like Lamar after that too, just on that kind of future play. I'm not going to be surprised if Flacco plays all the year, even if that means Lamar's kind of mixed in a few. It'd be interesting to kind of see how that dynamic works there too and how those plays are called. But I'm gonna almost assume Flacco plays all of it.
But that doesn't bother me. You know, it could be good for Lamar.
I agree.
For sure. For sure. I've moved Rosen ahead of Darnold. I had Darnold ahead of him, but before that, the Jets really kind of hurt that process there to me. And it seems like Rosen's kind of ready to go. McCown's going to play at least a few games. I know there's some rumbling of Darnold kind of coming out and starting. I think that's McCown for a little while. And Teddy's looking super good unless he gets moved. But to me, the way I play, even a startup, Superflex, I'm probably not going to end up with any of these guys because I'm going to go early and often. I'm not going to wait for these guys for me. They're pushed down pretty far. I'm getting guaranteed starters, three of them that are studs. So I'm more likely to trade for one of these guys or rookie draft them, you know, in future years to come and sit on them because I have a Rodgers, you know, a Russell Wilson and then a flyer like a Patrick Mahomes. A couple young guys that at least have the job and can build into it and sit on like a Sam Darnold who might not play for a few years when I draft him, you know, in 2019, like a Shea Patterson or a Will Greer.
Or okay.
If you would have like bought Mitch Trubisky cheap last year, even.
Right, exactly.
Like that.
Like, so it doesn't happen, but saying. You can see where it goes. That's how I'm going to do like my future quarterbacks in that super flex. So in a startup, you're going to get them before I will.
Okay. So then my question is to drink. How many picks are you using on quarterback in your first five rounds?
Probably three, depends on what happens there. Safely two. That third one might slide a little bit, you know, if I end up with my studs at the front. Mm-hmm. And I can kind of fill out the rest of the roster as that goes. So if I could wait until the seventh, eighth to get maybe a Pat Mahomes or, I mean, Derek Carr's not that old. You know what I mean? And maybe that kind of resurges back as my third quarterback. Like, I can ride that out.
Okay, so then
my follow-up. He's a bi-week fill-in at best at that point for me. You know what I mean? And we'll see what happens.
Yeah, so then I hear both you guys saying you want to go young, early, and often. Is there any world where you guys take, like, a Ben Roethlisberger as your super flex spot? Like, what would have to happen in a draft for you to end up with, like, a Big Ben or a Phillip Rivers as who are every year, annually, QB1s, right? Across the board, they've been QB1s,
right? For me, I would have to feel like I totally missed out on quarterbacks and Ben fell. Okay. And and I'm worse than Two Drink. I think he'll agree. Like, I'm kind of an age where I like to stay really young. So in a startup draft, I don't want him yet. But once I feel really confident about my team, I'm the guy that's coming to you to get Ben from you. And I'm going to be like, dude, your team sucks. Like, you're wasting Ben. You're wasting Ben's talent. Let me get him a championship. And then I'm going to get Mason Rudolph and ride it out.
Okay.
I don't mind at all. And, if it just happens to fall that way, I got no problem taking Eli and then a few rounds later taking Laletta and just figuring it out. Cause again, Eli's going to be my third. Those weapons there are awesome. And if something develops behind that, that team's crazy young with OBJ, Saquon, Ingram, Shep, like all those same guys there, like they'll still be there for him. So if by chance that guy works out, sweet. And if not, I'm going to take another rookie quarterback next year in this draft and it's just going to sit there and see. So I'm afforded that option. So I got no problem with that.
Okay. So I know Eli's kind of a different class than Big Ben and Rivers. So let me ask.
Maybe not. What, watch
yeah, out. Maybe. We'll see. I mean, I'm hopeful. I'm a Giants fan. So I hope Eli has like one great last year for sure. But what round would you have to like miss quarterback on so that Ben or Rivers is like your super flex spot?
So that's my second quarterback?
As your second quarterback on your on your startup, if you're able
what
to get
what did I like, do before?
Yeah, so like if you have Rodgers, a bunch of young running backs, so it was like Rodgers, Fournette, Mixon, and then like Tyreek Hill, T.Y. Hilton. Is that good enough of a base of a roster to then, okay, I'm going to take Big Ben or Rivers as my, you know, second.
Where is Phillip Rivers ranked then for you? I mean, I can't answer that without that. Is he Rivers at 20, like quarterback 20, 17?
Before that.
Yeah.
For me, 15, he's before that.
So many variables. Like who else is 12? On the board?
Right. Like how many have gone before? I mean, I'll take it there, but I probably have him ranked a few spots behind you.
I like okay, so Rivers where do you have a little bit more like than that. Ben.
What was that, Swag?
I like Rivers a little over Ben.
Oh, really? Okay. Do you think he's going to play longer? Is that why, or is there?
I think that his floor is a little higher than Ben's, and I don't care about the big ceiling weeks that Ben's going to get me. I want that consistency as long as they're healthy, you know, even just go with the health alone. I think Rivers is a little bit more consistent. I like what he's got going. I don't know. Yeah. He hasn't really played with Hunter Henry anyway. Gates has been gone for a while. So I don't know. I think it'll be fine.
Yeah. I'm actually, shockingly enough, I have them back to back and I have Rivers 16, Ben 17 in my dynasty rankings.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So then let's say you're at the end of your draft. It's a 25-man roster. How many quarterbacks will you have on your roster after that startup, Swag?
Probably 5 to 7.
Okay, wow. So you are just loading up on QB for the
Oh, 25-man roster?
25-man roster. 25-man.
Yeah, I'm probably still in that like 5 to 6 range. But like some of them are going to be like Mason Rudolph. I'm going to grab Kaiser. Just some of those weird guys at the end that are getting to be kind of free and a little bit forgotten about. Mason Rudolph, you have to kind of grab a little bit higher because there's still rookie hype. But if Ben goes down, he's the starter at least this year, and they'll see how he does. If anything, instant trade value. So, yeah, those kind of guys too, you know, if I can get a couple. If I can get even McCarron cheap with Allen attached to it or something weird like that. And all these players are going to have value. They're all stock options, and they won't get any lower, really, if they're already – if you're getting them, like, as quarterback 35 or something like that in a super flex. I mean, one of them is going to be a starter. I don't think it's Nathan Peterman, to be honest with you. So
I hope not. I hope not for Buffalo. God.
You know, so those kind of guys, I'm not, they're not all flashy guys, but I am grabbing some, some guys in the dumpster when
you're sick. You're sick too. So let me ask you the same question.
What about you?
Start to answer.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, you start to answer. What, how many quarterbacks do you want for a 25 man roster startup?
Me, four. Four's probably good. I'm loading up. I'm loading up on studs early, and I'll take a flyer late. I don't even mind, you know, backside. You know, maybe like, I know it doesn't exactly work that way, but maybe like a Case Keenum and Lamar Jackson late. Like Case is, you know, solid this year and probably next year when maybe then Lamar takes over. So that, you know, kind of ends up being your quarterback three for the future. But yeah, I want studs up front so then I can, you know, load the rest of the team and take a couple shots late.
I like it. I like it. Yeah, I'm probably in the 4 to 5 range. At least one stud, and then kind of my middle tier. I always like to win now. So, I mean, I have Brady and Breeze back to back at 11 and 12 for me. I'd be cool with them as my super flex. Ooh. And then I pick up like a Derek Carr or even a Andy Dalton as my third quarterback. I'd be totally comfortable with that for me. If I can win with Rodgers and Brady for a year, maybe 2 years, I'm down for that, and then I'll take that money and buy myself something real nice.
Even Matty Ice, nobody mentioned him, but I think he could have a little rebound this year.
Yep, I agree. Touchdown rate was really low last year, so I think he could definitely rebound for sure. So let's move on to some dynasty trades as we, or super flex trades, I should say, as we finish up the show tonight. Trade number one from at You'll Go Farb. I like that play.
Right. Nice. Like that name.
I like that a lot. Yeah. So it's a 12 team, easy for me to say, Dynasty Superflex half PPR league. Darius Geis and Will Fuller, or Kerryon Johnson and Corey Davis. We'll start with the Lions homer.
Oh, man. I was hoping to get your guys' take on this. This is so easy for me. It's not even fair.
And a Corey Davis homer.
I mean, Corey Davis went to college in the town I am sitting in today. So
I shouldn't have asked you first.
I'm definitely taking the Corey Davis and Kerryon Johnson side. And I feel like if I wasn't a homer, I would still lean that way. And I think that Geis is the best player in this trade. But I think that Corey Davis and Geis value is very similar right now.
Okay. Okay. What about you two, Drake?
So I'm going to be honest. I picked this trade because I saw I saw your answer, Steve.
Yep.
And I knew that Swag would go the other way. I did not need to see the poll results. It was super early when it came out, but I knew you guys were on opposite, so that's why I did that one.
All right,
you're welcome. I am also gonna pick the Corey Davis and Kerryon Johnson side.
Reluctantly.
Kinda, a little bit. I think Corey Davis is the most valuable player in this trade. Just dynasty worth, to improve and even right now. So that's kind of what I want to lean that way. I think I would have more fun playing with Geis, and I would have better receivers than I would need to start Fuller, like if I'm thinking about it for my team. But yeah, give me the Kerryon Johnson and Corey Davis, and I kind of hope you give it to us a little bit.
No, I mean, dude, it's a very fair opinion. I love Corey Davis. I loved Corey Davis last year too, coming out. I just want to see him catch like more than one touchdown in a year. I think Geis, especially with a healthy offensive line for now, knock on wood, in Washington, I think he's got a chance to be a monster this year and for the next couple of years. People are going to underrate that Washington offense. They were beat to shit last year on the offensive line. I think they almost called me to go play for them. So
that would have been cool.
Yeah, right. I would have to gain about 80 pounds right now.
We would have totally like had to do our intro a lot different, though. If that
a little bit, right? It's a little bit. And I think Will Fuller, he's not going to score as many touchdowns as he did last year, right? We obviously know that. But I still think he is a wide receiver three with upside, which could be end up being a wide receiver two in Dynasty for going forward. I like Kerryon Johnson. I just think Theo Riddick is still going to have a role there. Like, he's too good at what he does to not be involved in that team. And unless Patricia really changes the entire thought process of that offense, they're still going to be very pass happy, I think. But I do agree. I love Corey Davis. I do.
What
but
were the results of this?
I think so the Corey Davis side.
Yeah, it's still super early. Like I said, it had only been out, I think, like an hour. Mm-hmm. So yep. 2 hours maybe when I put it on here. So we're at 63% Kerryon and Corey Davis currently. Geis and Fuller 37% on the other side. This will run through the end of Friday, I guess, or Friday afternoon. So,
yeah, I mean, I think people really do value Corey Davis, and they should in a dynasty. I just think the difference between Geis and Kerryon Johnson is going to end up being huge by the end of this year. So that's the only reason I picked that side. So let's go through a second trade real quick. From at Mike Colian. Colian? Did I even get close to that pronunciation? I'm just going to go with that.
Out, I guess.
We'll find out.
Make fun of Steve.
Yeah. I'm sorry if I butchered your name. So 12 team PPR, full point PPR, super flex. Deshaun Watson or Marcus Mariota, a 2019 first and second. We'll start with Two Drink on this one.
So I'm probably a little more down on Mariota than others, but I feel like just getting the picks, I got to go to that side. It's too valuable. As much as I like Watson, I have Watson as my fourth quarterback in Dynasty, and I'm looking at Mariota down here at 11. The first and the second next year totally makes up that difference, and see what we can do.
Okay. What about you, Swag?
Man, I agree with him. And I like Watson quite a bit over Mariota. I'm not really too into Mariota. It's actually, he's one of the reasons that I would worry a little bit about Corey Davis. But with those picks, and who knows what happens with Watson coming back from injury, the trade value on Watson is crazy, though. So you might get a little bit more. Like, right. I would honestly try to get that to be a 2020 first instead of that 2019 second, and be fine waiting a year for that pick or something like that. But the points differential, like in a standard quarterback scoring league, might be just a couple points a week. So I'm all about it, man. But you might be able to get more for Watson. I might be a little hesitant, and it's the time of year where you have plenty of time. So
yeah, I'm definitely taking the Mariota side. I do agree where you might be able to get more for Watson right now, because he's going like as the second or third quarterback in startups right now. I actually have them back to back in my dynasty rankings. I have Watson fifth, Mariota sixth.
Okay.
I am probably a little bit higher on Mariota than most. So for me, this is kind of a no-brainer to get the extra picks along with Mariota. I think with LaFleur coming in, completely changes that offense. I think they're going to run a lot more spread and do what Mariota does well, what he did well in Oregon, instead of running that smash mouth crap that we saw a couple last couple of years with malarkey. That was like a 1975 offense. We're going to get into the 2000s. So I'm excited for Mariota this year. And I mean, Deshaun Watson had a magical run. A lot of people won a boatload of money in DFS playing Deshaun Watson week after week last year. But the guy threw I think he had a TD rate of over 9%. Like, statistically, that cannot happen again. It's just not going to happen. Right. I think we saw the absolute best of Deshaun Watson, unless he is, I can't even think of a quarterback in history, unless he has a Tom Brady of 2007 year for the entirety of the rest of his career. That has to be the rest of his career, which I don't think can happen. So I will gladly take the Marcus Mariota side on this one.
Yeah, so we all agree. We all agree.
Shocking. Shocking, right? Enough. I know. I think we also agreed on Ryan Tannehill being the second coming of Jesus Christ at some point earlier tonight, too. So.
I'll take it, too.
I hope so for my Scott Fishbowl team.
And the Dolphins will still go 6-10.
Maybe 6-10 if they're lucky.
Wow.
I'm just saying. I'm in the same boat as a Giants fan. We're both going to be terrible, but it's going to be fun at least this season. So thanks for listening. What was that?
I think he said Jordan Matthews is the bee's knees.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. Exactly. So before you guys stop listening to us, I do want to say we are on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean. So check us out on all those different locations. Leave a review on iTunes for us. Hopefully 5 stars if you like listening to us. And just a reminder, you can find the site and the show at SuperflexPod on Twitter, at SuperflexTrades. Swag, where can they find you on Twitter?
I'm at DFF_swag. I'm all about Jordan Matthews.
Awesome. Jordan Matthews truther. That should be in your new Twitter bio. And TrueDrink, where can they find you on Twitter?
I'm at FL2DrinkMinimum, at SuperflexPod, and yes, hit that, man.
Hit it up. Hit us up. We are very active on Twitter. We will answer your questions, your trade questions, anything like that. And I am at TheRealHalupka on Twitter, and we are out.
Later.
Later.
Thanks for enjoying the Super Flexible Podcast at Superflex Pod, one of the many podcasts brought to you by the Dynasty Football Network and Dynasty Football Factory, available anywhere you listen to podcasts. So go subscribe to the show and get every podcast as soon as it releases straight to your phone. While you're there, go ahead and rate and review the show. That helps the show out more than you know and helps get all you Superflexers the best content that you want to hear. On Twitter, follow the host, Steve, at TheRealHalupka, and the two co-hosts, Swag, at DFF_Swag, and TwoDrink, at FL2DrinkMinimum. But wait, there's more. Subscribe now and promise to tell a friend, and we will throw in all the other podcasts from the DFF Network for free. Be sure to check out
Dynasty Trade Day School, Dynasty Warzone, Daddy Watch, Pathology 101, the IDP Edge Crusher, Dynasty Football Fellas, and the Rookie Fever Podcast. Remember to tag at Superflex Pod and at Superflex Trades for all your Superflex and two quarterback needs. Plus, GTBetEU. Use that promo code in all caps, Superflex, and get that $500 match. Do that now. Get fantasy ripped with a Super Flexible Podcast.